So this is 5 top tips for getting the room quiet. You see, with adults, it's a piece of cake, you see, isn't it? I start talking and you weren't expecting something to happen.
On the guest account, isn't it?
Just say a little bit about myself. My name's Claire Mason. I am from a large middle-class church in Kent. There's some seats here on the front. There's 3 more seats here, for a couple of seats there. This is getting the room quiet. Yeah, you win the prize for finding this room, actually. Yeah. I work full-time as a children's and families worker, so that means I work with 5s to 11s, and I do most of my work on Sunday, although we've just started up a group for 6 and 7-year-olds at a local primary school. Prior to that, I spent 7 years in in the northwest, in a working class area, and working with kids who were mainly not church kids, so kids from the local community, and we did lots of after school clubs. So I don't have all the answers, but I feel I've seen most of it. And actually, I put here, before that, I used to be a dentist. I used to work a lot with children, so therefore I never had any difficulty in keeping them quiet. Maybe that's not a brilliant thing to suggest. There's some seats here at the front. It was fear, probably. It'd be a good idea to pray just before I begin. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to teach your word to children. And we pray that you'll be with us. We pray that this session will help us and equip us to be better at doing that. Amen. So this session is just aimed at the under 11s. So some of what I'll say might be relevant to the over 11s, but I have aimed it at the under 11s. Put your hand up if you work with sort of under 5s. Who works with under 5s? Okay, a few of you. 5s to 7s. Sort of 7s to 9s. And then sort of 10s to 11s. Okay. Perhaps you can relate to this. Thank you very much. You can probably relate to that. The bottom says the first day is always the hardest. Claude, which Sunday school class were you teaching? And perhaps you've come along to this session because actually some Sundays you've just felt like that. Or after a midweek club, you've just failed. Oh, it was just a nightmare. It's been Sunday morning, it's 10 a.m. You've spent ages preparing your material for that session. You've got your craft activities, if it's younger children, you've got your games planned, you've got your bag full of crafts, you've thought hard about your main teaching points, you've thought through how you're going to apply it to the children in your group. You're set up and ready to go. Visualise where you are. It's quiet, it's peaceful. And then, whoosh! They rush into the room. They're laughing, they're chatting. Depending on what age they are, they're talking about what they did yesterday. They talked about the match they were in, the party they went to, whatever it was. And you tell them to be quiet, and the noise level starts to rise. You raise your voice, and they just keep on talking. None of them are listening. You with me? What do you do next, do you think? It's happened to me. I'm sure it's all happened to you. You felt frustrated. You finally, perhaps, got them to listen and say hello and welcome. And then you think, yeah, we're going to play a game. You explain the game, you do a game, and then you've got to get their attention again. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, you're all with me. You could probably all think of situations, perhaps, maybe times, perhaps, when you found it hardest, perhaps, to get the attention of the children in your group. Are there any, just a quick buzz with your neighbour, 2 minutes, any situations when you particularly find it hard to get the children's attention? 2 minutes. So one thing each. I'm going to take you to the next one. that got me going. So I feel really issue. Just give me some feedback. When do you find it? What situation do you find it particularly hard?
Mixed age group.
A mixed age group, okay. When you've got 3s to 11s all in one room. Yep, okay.
After a game.
Before a game. Okay, yeah.
A child can easily be upset with one child and not the others.
Okay, one particular child, yes.
And when there's so many of them, but actually,
okay, yeah. Let's see. Go on.
When I was first coming, we had lots of news and we had to be around.
Yeah.
And if you sit down and contemplate them,
you okay.
Later arrivals,
just got
their
attention
from somebody else. There's
multiple things trying to get their attention towards our
work. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's a real situation, isn't it? I was thinking, I used to teach a group of 7s to 11s. This is a few churches back. We used to have to take the children from the church to the church hall down the road. This was in North London. And I was teaching a bunch of 7s to 11s. And you can imagine what would happen. We'd get them out of the church, they'd walk down the road, and then they dash into the hall, because they would run, don't they? And they dash into the hall, because they've got so much energy and enthusiasm, and they'd run around, and I'd be standing there going, can you sit down? And, you know, it was just an uphill struggle. And it was a constant struggle. And I think I've learnt now, it's probably something to do with, I learnt, looking back on it, I think, yeah, I begin to understand why it was such a struggle. Now, our aim at this training day is to help us in actually teaching the Bible to children and young people, so that actually that they can come to know Jesus. So actually, this sort of is why we're focusing on this idea of top tips for getting the room quiet. I think I'm probably going to tweak its side. Actually, top tips for keeping their attention. Because actually, we don't want the room quiet for the whole 50 minutes or an hour or however long you want. What we're really aiming for is we want their attention. So sometimes that might be that they need to be silent. But actually, what is, how can we engage them so that we've got their attention? How can we, you know, make sure that we don't lose their attention? Because actually we want the children to listen, and to listen to what's being taught, to listen to God's word as the Bible is taught, so actually they can come to know God. And we can only do that if we've got their attention. So hopefully you'll go away with some practical tips that you can use today, tomorrow, perhaps in a midweek club later in the week. I'm not going to talk about the whole area of discipline, because that's a whole other session. But hopefully there'll be some simple things that you can do, or things to think about. I know I don't have all the answers. Here's my confession. So midweek club this week, Tuesday, there I am doing the Bible teaching, and I've got 3 persistently disruptive children, and we had to stop multiple times. And I'm just aware, I'm thinking, yes, so I'm going to do a session on 5 top tips to get the room quiet, and I just haven't got all the answers. And I think I might say that there are some times when you just have to say, I can't do it. And actually, yeah, you know, and which is very humbling, because actually it makes it realise it's not down to us, it's actually down to God's work, and God's work and God's work in their lives. And sometimes it just doesn't work, whatever you've tried, so don't beat yourself up. But there are things that we can do. So I want to imagine that you are a group of 5 to 7-year-olds. I'm your midweek group leader. You're at an after-school club, so you've had a really fun, exciting day at school. And you've come along, and I'm going to just pretend to do a little bit of a session. Watch out and see. Listen what you think would might make it difficult for children of that age to listen and pay attention. Now, children, I want you to sit and listen very, very quietly, because I'm going to tell you the Bible story, which is really, really important you listen to. And then after that, I've got a really brilliant game, which you're going to just love. And then, of course, don't forget, we've got biscuits and we've got drink after that. And then we're going to do some croft, which will be fantastic this week. Now, before we begin, I just need to find my notes. I think I've got them in here.
Yeah, I think I've got them in here.
Shh, shh. can tell you to talk. Now, today's story is from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, and it's the story of a man with leprosy. And he came to Jesus, imploring him, and said, "Dear Jesus, please, will you make me clean?" Oh, it would help me if I had a picture. Shall I have a look? Because I've got my picture. I've forgotten my picture as well. Shh. I can tell you to talk. It's the most important bit of the session. Jesus was moved with pity when he saw the man, and so he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the man with leprosy was clean. Oh, Jane. Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you at the beginning. Have you got the drinks ready? And the biscuits? Yeah, well, I think I left them in my car. Here's my key. Just go and fetch them. But the man went and talked excessively to everyone that he came across, and so the news about Jesus became widespread throughout the whole area. Jason was no longer able to go open into places, but was out in desolate and deserted places, but still crowds of people came to visit him. That was such an exciting story, wasn't it? And it teaches us that Jesus is able to make people clean. And the Bible tells us that because we're unclean, we can't approach God, who is holy. And we're going to play a game now, which will be brilliant fun, which will make us understand how it is that God can make us clean. So we're going to go over there. So, I want you to all go over there. No, not now. I didn't tell you to move. Just go all over there. And then, I need some leaders to help. So if you could be leader number one, you could be leader number two, three, and four. And I'm going to give you all a number. Yeah. It's chaos. It's chaos. And, yeah, we probably could do all that, but I know I've done some of those things many, many times each session and thought, yeah, I've lost the attention. So quick feedback, what were the obvious things that I did then? It was so obvious, go on. I wasn't organised. Okay, I wasn't organised. No, I haven't got my stuff with me. Go on.
Not being really enthusiastic about Bible story at the beginning, and then being enthusiastic about something else.
Yeah.
So you're able to get the enthusiasm that you have, so long as you've got the enthusiasm.
So unrealistic. I wasn't giving them right expectations. Yeah.
When you sort of have like what you're going to do, and they probably latch onto the food, drink, and the game.
So there were lots of things. So what I'm trying to say is actually when we're thinking about getting the room quiet, we need to think about actually how can I make sure that I maintain their attention? What are the things that I need to avoid? What are the things that I can do positively? So the first one, as everybody said, was be prepared. I wasn't prepared. I probably hadn't turned up early enough to get my stuff sorted out. Hadn't checked that I'd got all my visuals with me. I didn't actually know what I was teaching, so I was reading from my notes, so there was no eye contact. And I hadn't thought through at the beginning, I hadn't perhaps got together with my other leaders at the beginning and said, well, how are we going to organise the session? That's really important and, essential at the beginning of the session to get together and then think through, how are we going to organise this? Who's going to run the game? Have we made sure that we've got... we're having a drink and a biscuit, we got that sorted. And even before that, thinking about how am I going to use my teaching space as well. So I think that when I was talking about when I used to have a group of 7 to 11s in a huge church hall, well, no wonder I could never get their attention, because you put 7s to 11s in a huge hall, they would just run around. What I needed to do was think about how I could use my teaching space. So I thought about that with our 8s to 11s, we meet in a school classroom. It's not huge, but we can move all the chairs around. And I've realised that actually, sometimes just for that age group, sometimes just having different parts of the room, it's not a huge classroom, having bits of parts of the room for different things. So this, when we're over here, this is where we play games. And this might be so a big space where we can play games and be interactive. And then if I actually want to sit them down and maybe read from the Bible, they're sort of year 5, 6, and actually sit them around a table, just thinking how can I use my teaching area with 5 and 5-year-olds and under, actually just saying having a big rug just to sit them on a game, just little things that just think how can I keep their attention. Remember attention span as well. This is a thing I think children stop listening because actually we've probably been going on too long. Adults, we're quite polite, so you might sort of glaze over if I go along too long. But children will just start to get fidgety and disruptive. And once you get to know the children in your group, you'll pick that up and you think, actually, perhaps I have been going on a little bit too long. I've just been talking too much and we need to stop and maybe have a break. You need to remember visuals as well. I think Ed was very helpful upstairs in the session upstairs. We're saying with under sevens, the brains aren't working if their eyes aren't busy. So they need to have things to look at or things to touch, things to engage with to keep their attention. And yeah, if you've just been talking too long, then you need to stop and do something different. So I'd like everybody to stand up. Okay, a little quick game of do this, do that. Okay, so I'm going to be watching you. So if I say do this, you've got to copy what I do. If I say do that, you've got to ignore what I do. Okay, we'll see how many we can get out tonight. Okay, so do this, do this, do this, do that. Okay, everybody put their hands in the air, sit down. Okay, do this, do this, do that. Okay, I saw you. All those who moved, put your hands on your knees, sit down. Okay, do this, do this, do this, do that. Okay, do this, 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 do that. Okay, I think you lot are the winners. Can you clap? So you might want to think when you're planning your session, you could fit that in that can just be a sort of just to get their attention back, just to get them moving if they've been sitting for a while. But you could also think of something like that to get their attention back as sort of that would fit in with your teaching lesson. Give simple, clear directions. What happens if you say to a group of 5-year-olds, in a minute we're going to stand up and move to the other side of the room and do some craft? What happens? Yes, yeah. And yeah, it's obvious, but I think they hear what you say, they hear the first half, and actually you're intending to tell them about the craft that you're going to do or the next thing that you want them to do. But of course, you've already told them to move. So just think about, explain how you're going to do something before you tell them to move, because otherwise they're over the other side of the room and you're going, come back, come back, I haven't told you to. Yeah. So just thinking about the club that we had at school, I think the first week we played for the parachute, which I just realised in retrospect wasn't our wisest thing to do. I think we needed to be a bit more careful on giving clear directions. It was slightly chaotic and yeah, so often think about giving clear directions, certainly with children. Keep them sitting down while you explain what you want them to do before you get them to move. And this is probably a bigger thing, which is about planning your session. So you know the children in your group, you know that the situation they're in, you know your church situation. Let me give you an example. We do a holiday club at church, and this year we have a sort of an all-together time, so we have drama and we have music and we have a Bible talk. And I was down to do the Bible talk after a it was a fun song, and the idea was it was actually quite a fun song to get the children moving. But the problem was it was also a song that was so fun that the 8, 9, 10-year-olds just did not want to settle afterwards. So I'm standing up to do a Bible talk and I'm, you know, trying to be engaging and interactive, but I've got a group of kids at the back who are just so excited by the song that we've just sang that they're just persistently disruptive at the back. That actually wasn't necessarily their fault, that was our fault in planning. We should have not used that song at that particular point. So just think, where am I going to put the things in my session that are more active, that I'm actually going to get the children perhaps more excited, slightly more wound up, that are more, where am I going to put them? And think about how am I going to plan my session. So if I play this game here, then is it realistic for them to then sit down and listen quietly for 5 or 10 minutes? Can I still play this game, but then give them opportunity to quieten down, perhaps by having a drink or something, or doing something quieter before moving on to something else? But also realistic that children have lots of energy. So, you know, we do need to plan to use up their energy. And I think particularly on a Sunday morning, children often arrive. Mornings have been busy. Parents have been, come on, quick, we're late for church. They get to church. And often in church, however child-friendly your first 10, 15 minutes of your church is, the children will not have been running around and making lots of noise. And by the time they get to your group, they're just sort of up on the point of exploding. And then we're saying, shh, sit quietly. So just think, actually, would it be helpful to play a game at the beginning and enable them to just be a bit loud, just to burn off a bit of energy? And in terms of planning your session and keeping attention, just think about those of you who work with under fives, they love routine. So for them, actually having the same thing, same structure each week, whatever that might be, and agreeing that amongst the team, if you're teaching a team of leaders, then that's really, really helpful. You can do slightly, you know, different songs or different games, but actually if they know this, and this is going to happen, then that will help them listen well. Right, now, what I'd like you to do now is I'd like you to stand up. Sorry, this is going to be an interactive slot. Stand up. Now, what you want to do is when I tell you, there's not much space here, so I'm not going to be able to do that, but I want you to move around in a way that I tell you, okay? And then just sort of move around and then come back to your chair. So I want you to imagine that you're a king. And think about how a king would walk. So you want to just move around a little bit and then back to your places. You see, next door they're all sitting there thinking, what are they doing in there? Okay, if you want to go back to your seats. We've been doing a series on a Sunday morning with our 6 and 7 year olds on King David and King Saul, and I was teaching that last Sunday morning, and I could see the children were getting fidgety, and I've got some more that I wanted to explain to them and help them think through, and I thought, let's just do that. So we did. I just got them to stand up. There were only about 8 or 9 of them, and we walked around being a king, and then that gained me a few more minutes of their attention. Which is why I say be flexible. Sometimes you just have to cut things short. You might think I've spent ages working on this really brilliant game, but actually it's not going to work today. I'm just going to have to cut it. You might even just think I'm going to have to swap round the order of how we're going to do things today. So if you think the children are listening really well, you know, sometimes just go with it and think, I was going to do a game here, but actually let's just carry on, and then we'll perhaps do the game or something like later. Use your team. Sometimes it can help just to have a change of voice. Perhaps I need to get somebody else up at this point to talk. And that can be enough to make the children listen. So if you're able to teach in a team, perhaps with, and we'll all no doubt have at least one other, then get that other person to be there and perhaps explain something you're going to do that session or do some part of it. That will really help. I mean, the other things are, which I'm sure you all do, but, you know, actually just talking to your team and going, which children perhaps might we need to need a bit more encouragement to listen, and just be on the lookout for it, and, you know, thinking, actually, I'll go and sit next to them or encourage them to come and sit next to me. And as encourage your team to be those who model listening. So that's what encourages me at Holiday Club. We have quite a large holiday club and a large team, and there are points where we want the children to listen, And actually it's really helpful. They notice what their leaders are doing. Actually, if the leaders are engaging and listening to what's going on up front, then they will model that, copy that. And then, I don't know whether this is any of you, but some of us can get very, very excited about what we're doing, which is brilliant. It's brilliant to be excited, but sometimes we can get more excited than the children. So if you're one of those people who gets more excited than the children, you might need to just slightly rein in your enthusiasm. Because you don't want to excite them. So those are some of the things I think you might do. My last one is remember the weather, which is really just thinking, actually, there'll be some things that are just outside my control. It might be it's a windy day. It might be you're doing an after-school club, it's rained all day. The children have been inside all day. It might be you just don't really know what's going on. You don't know what's going on perhaps in that individual child's life, and that's maybe where they're being particularly disruptive. So the after-school club I ran this week, I did find afterwards that the one child who was being disruptive had just been disruptive all day and then being moved to another classroom. So actually, to a certain extent, there are lots of things that actually are outside your control. And I think it's really humbling because it makes us realise we can try and do all those things and they're good things to do, but actually ultimately it doesn't depend on us. And we do need to pray. So my response to, our response to when things are hard and when we're finding it difficult to get their attention is actually to pray. It's a reminder that actually it's not all down to us, which is quite humbling. But there are times when you do want to explain that game, you do want to explain that craft. You do want to teach a Bible verse. You do want to tell them the Bible story. You don't want to talk to them about what they've been learning. And yet there's lots of noise. And I think there are lots of things that don't work. Have you all tried these? Have you tried raising your voice? What happens when you raise your voice? You see, they'll just go noisier next door, don't they? If you raise your voice, the noise level just rises, doesn't it? Ignoring the noise. Does that work? Sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And actually, sometimes you end up frustrating the children who do want to listen. There'll be those children who really do want to learn and hear. And actually, you're not being kind and loving to them because they're just getting frustrating. Getting cross never works. There are some weeks when I have done it and then had to say sorry afterwards. But it never works. I think it's interesting to think about some of the things that, if any of you know teachers, interesting to you about some of the things that teachers do to try and get the attention of their class. And obviously they see their children 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So actually these are patterns that they can easily, and behaviours that they can easily teach their class. But it might be worth finding out from your children what they are that they do. I've realised that at local primary schools this is what they do. So you all need to put your fingers on your lips and so that sort of works. If you do that and put your hand up, they copy, and that just goes, and that's a quiet way of doing it. Another way is the teachers will use is to do a clapping pattern. So if there's some noisy activity going on, so it might be perhaps you're busy doing a craft, but I need to get your attention, so we're going to do I could do a clapping pattern. So if I go clap, clap, and you repeat back, and I go and again, it's ways of getting their attention without having to raise your voice. You could use a catchphrase. This works brilliantly, I think, with large groups, so particularly at holiday clubs. So we always have some sort of catchphrase. So something said from the front and there's a response from the children. So we had a detectives team at holiday club this year, and I sort of remember what it was now. It was Special Agents of St. Nicholas. and the children would then go, "Sir, yes, sir." So it's just something simple that you can teach at the beginning of the week, and when you need to get their attention, you say that, and they know how to respond, and then you're ready to move on. It wouldn't work regularly on a Sunday morning in a small group, but in a big group. Sometimes you can lower your voice and speak more quietly. That sometimes works as well. Children have to want to hear what you've got to say and stop talking and start to listen. Little jingles, I don't know. 1, 2, 3. Look at me. Just little different things that you can use. But probably better that you work as a team and sort of pick one and say, let's try and work this with our group, and just teach one so that you're consistent with the group, whatever you decide to do. And as I say, it might be worth talking to the children and say, what do you do at school, and seeing if you can use that one. And then at the end, I've got 5 ideas to try. I think we might have used some of these already. Let's have a look what we've got. I think this is particularly the first one, talk a lot. I think it's particularly when you have, I think it's probably sort of 8, 9, 10s, 11s. And do you ever have this? There's a continual sort of level of conversation going on. Obviously nobody else gets that. I have that. Yeah, you have that. And sometimes you just think, actually, they just sometimes just want to talk. So I'm just going to give you a minute. And if you turn to your neighbour, you can talk to a minute for a minute about anything. Okay, off you go. Say to them, you know, I can see you've obviously got lots to talk about, so I'm just going to give you a minute. Everybody's going to talk at the same time, and when I give you the signal to stop, you've got to stop. A minute's quite a long time, isn't it? Yeah. And actually, that may just help if you've just got a particularly chatty. Just give them the opportunity to just share that thing they've been bursting to tell their neighbour, and actually just get their attention back again. Silent sign, we've talked about that. That's just different ways of trying to get silence without necessarily raising your voice. Things that you can do, physical things. Move it, which was, just sometimes just getting them to stand up and move around and thinking about something, perhaps getting them to move in a way that might fit in with the story, the Bible teaching that you're doing, and get them, encourage them to follow and be creative. Just gets them moving, gets them burning off a little bit of that energy. So, I don't know. Calming the storm, imagining being outside, move as if you're outside on a very, very windy day. Healing the centurion servant, walking like a soldier. You can think of things. I'm sure you can think of things that would go with that. Popcorn. Popcorn, or actually another one which I've done, which is sort of similar to this, which is a sort of a game, sometimes just that energy, and I just need to sort of, what you're going to do is imagine that you're a bottle of Coke, okay? You're a bottle of Coke, and I'm just going to shut yourself up and up and up and up and up and up and up, and then when I say go, you're going to go and just explode all over the floor. Kids love it, boys love it. And then sometimes you just get it back again, and it just, popcorn, similar sort of thing. Sit on your chair, imagine that you're a bit of popcorn, and you know, pop, pop, and then you can give it louder, pop, pop, and just bounce and bounce and bounce. These are just things that don't particularly relate to Bible teaching, but just give you a minute or so just to sort of get their attention back. And the last one, which I think we might do, now I've not done this one, but a friend said they've done it and it works quite well. They do it with Bible books, but let's not do it with Bible books. Or you could do count off. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to start, and we're going to count up as far as we can get. So I'm going to start with one, and then somebody else needs to count out, go 2, 3, 4, and keep on going. But if two people speak at the same time, we've got to go back to the beginning. Have you got that? And we've got to make sure that we've got no more than 3 seconds between numbers. Okay, so let's see how far we can go. You could do with Bible books, but I won't challenge you on that one for now. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Ah, 1, 2.
1, 3, 4.
1, 2, 1. You're quite a, yeah, go on.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
But you see, actually a good way to teach Bible books, particularly slightly with children. You can start off with New Testament, couldn't you? You can start off with Genesis, Exodus. So that's some count off. We have a few more minutes, so before we need to finish. Any comments, any questions, any things that you think that have worked really well in helping to get children's attention that you want to share with the rest of the group? Because I say, I know I don't have all the answers.
I know you're not going to touch on discipline, but I just wondered if you could give some wisdom on if you have one or two very disruptive children. Obviously this works great if everyone's excited, but I've provided a situation where A, if the kids are sitting there and want to learn, there's two disruptive same people every week kind of thing. Is there anything you could do to get those people
out? I think it's trying to understand often why the children are being disruptive, and I think often in a church situation, and it's sometimes just worth having a word with the parents as well. Just say, look, you know, I know that little Jane is just finding really struggling, and just wonder whether it depends on who the parents are, but I think, you know, build on that communication with the parents. And then just practically, you know, it is the sometimes just thinking, who's going to sit next to Jane or Sally this week? Actually, can I do a game? Actually, at the beginning, I'll come in and I'll sit down, and perhaps we can do a game and just sort of mix them up so actually they're sitting in slightly different positions. Or sometimes just having, and sometimes the disruptive children, sometimes just giving them something to do. And I also sort of think, with children, and probably particularly with younger boys just can't sit still. And they will just fidget and fidget. And so not necessarily making noise, but sometimes I just think sometimes I'm just unrealistic about what's their expectations. So if they're not disturbing anybody else, they're still listening, even if they're twiddling their glasses round or whatever they're doing.
Boys and girls learn in quite different ways.
That's quite right,
yeah.
If I know
that
sometimes my lads aren't there because
they're playing football, yeah. But I'm always prepared with a few extra alternatives.
Yeah.
So that girls quite happy to do
the
craft, but girls might want to build something out of cardboard boxes in the corner or something like that. So to have some extra things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seen.
That's very wise.
And bear in mind that they do learn very differently.
Yes, they do.
So go with that and expect everyone to do the same thing at
the
same time in the same way.
Yeah, and it is getting to know the children in your group and understanding what they what they like doing. And there are some boys that don't like playing boisterous noisy games as well.
I had a question. So you suggested maybe starting the session with something active, like a game, so that they can go off steam.
Yeah.
But then you also said it might be unrealistic to go from a really active thing to then a mossy place.
I think you just think, how am I going to plan this? So actually, if this is a bit where I want them to really think and really concentrate, I might not put that straight after a game. So I think I planned a session the other week and I was teaching the 10, 11 year olds, so we started off with a game. And then actually we then stayed where they were sitting, and we then said, share with your neighbour and talk about something you want to pray for. So that sort of calmed them down. They were sitting down, but actually they were talking about something good that had happened that week, or something that they wanted to pray for, something they wanted to give thanks for, and then we fed back before we then moved on to something. So just sort of, do you see what I mean? Sort of, you know.
Do you have any tips on keeping your attention during the story itself?
I think that's about involving them and variety. So it is about being visual. So it might be using pictures. It might be, you know, acting the story out, getting them to act the story out, using telling a story that they can give sound effects to. Do you know what I mean? That it can engage them and involve them. So, the practical things like knowing your story and being enthusiastic and eye contact and things like that. Yeah. Does that help? And also thinking about the age group of the children you've got. How long, realistically, can I expect them to listen for?
I'm just wondering how much do you want it to be interactive, and how much it just be you telling them the story? Sometimes I want to ask questions, or want to.
I think that's great if they start asking questions. Yeah, I think that's great. So sometimes you know the children in your group. So if they're children and they'll respond well, you can tell the story and get them involved by asking questions, getting them thinking about what's going on. Yeah.
I think it's kind of leading on from that, like, if you do have a group that do want to ask questions at varying levels of relevance, but you're conscious that you've got other children who kind of want to get on, how do you address the question without going completely off the tangent of the study?
What sort of age are you thinking of?
Well, we've got quite a large group, so you'll have maybe someone who's about 8 who, you know, has lots of questions and wants to know a bit more about what that means. And we might have the older ones who are thinking more and know what this is and the question. Or they might have, the older ones have a bigger question, which the younger one's not really going to understand the answer to.
I think, you know, it is difficult teaching that wide age range. I have done it a little bit in the past. And I think that's when, you know, if you have a co-leader and then say, well, actually, let's take the younger ones and go and do something with them, and then actually give an opportunity for the older ones to ask questions. I say, that's a brilliant question, remember that, let's go and talk about that now. So it might be you need to split your session, you know, maybe only for 5 or 10 minutes or so, but actually doing something with the older ones and giving them that opportunity to ask their questions. Go on.
I found that using the timeline, you have a timeline I put that in a separate part. That's quite a good link between the game and the story.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If they're not paying attention to the story.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that my kids absolutely adore the Bibles on their hips and their hands on the desk on the table, and then I say the verse and it's the first one to find. They look at that like a little mini game.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they found the verse, the first person starts to read it, and then they all stop and it's ever so old-fashioned.
It's brilliant. Yeah, I've done that as well. Put your hand up when you found the Bible verse. Yeah. Last question.
You've mentioned attention spans a couple of times, and appropriate attention spans. So what is an appropriate...
I'm sorry. I think... I'm not... Well, people will say a minute for every year of the child's age. So, 3 minutes for a three-year-old, 5 minutes for a five-year-old. Somebody said to me, if you want a 3-year-old, I can't remember what it is, yeah, if you want a 3-year-old to listen like a 5-year-old, you'll have to wait a long time. You know, have to wait 2 years. So it's not to say that all your Bible teaching's got to be done in 3 minutes, but actually it's thinking chopping your session up into shorter amounts. And I think you can also, children can develop in their ability to listen, so you know, the same as adults can. And so you can push that a little bit. But yeah, okay. So that's why, it's keep different ways to keep their attention. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very, very much. I think tea break now, and then next session is at 5:30.